Well, it's now the time. It's Christmas. And I don't know whether you're planning to run from here to another store, but I hope not. It's probably over. But we've been talking together for the last number of weeks on joy. And I hope you'll go out of church today with a sense of joy that that the world can't take away from you. Got me to thinking, you know, at this time of year, what brings you joy? What brings you joy? Food? Come on, there's got to be some foods that bring joy, right? What are you having for lunch tomorrow? What are you having for lunch tomorrow, Jan? What? Pork tenderloin. All right, who's having something else? Yeah, okay, well, bless you for peanut butter and jelly. That's good. Yeah, what are you having? Honey baked ham? I love that. Okay. Candies. I mean, you think of presents. You think of the things that come during the season that bring joy. Being together as a family often brings joy. Giving gifts, receiving gifts, children laughing, children being on the stage here in the Christmas story. Was that not great? Who's coming to our house? Santa! Yeah, I mean, there's joy in this season. Carols and Christmas Eve. You know, I stand here and I think, what brings me joy? I love to see a packed church. I love to be together as the church of Jesus Christ. Friends we haven't seen for months. A snowstorm on Christmas Eve would just be awesome. That's not happening this year, but some other year. Traditions. You have Christmas traditions that you wait all year to do. We have some at our house it wouldn't be the same without. It's Christmas morning, when we wake up, someone has delivered to the foot of the beds and all my children a big stocking filled with things, and they can't open it, but they still, to this day, with a 19, a 17, and a 12-year-old, have to come down and get on our bed together, and we all open stockings together. And my mother and father are with us this year, so that's really going to be a crowded bed when they're there. Okay. Those are some traditions that you can't. And then getting special treasures. I always get some gifts at Christmas. There's one friend of mine in church who always gives me a special gift at Christmas, and I love getting it. I was thinking back to some of the best presents I've ever received. I grew up in a family with 6 children, 5 boys, and, you know, we didn't all get our own. We got a American Flyer sled with red handles and red runners and a rope, and we shared it. We lived on a hill, and you know, if it snowed Christmas and there was an American Flyer under the tree, we wrestled to see who could get that thing first. It's a time of giving gifts, and some gifts are really special. I got a treasure already this year from one of my staff, and it was such a treasure I knew you'd appreciate it that I wanted you to see it. Here's a picture of it. The next slide is for him who gave it to me. Okay, that's the back. He was one of the best employees we've ever had. He's gonna really, he's gonna love whatever he does next, I'm sure. It's a time okay, take that off, please. It's a time of joy. But it's only a time of joy in the most enduring sense if you understand why it is that Jesus Christ came. You've already read it once, but let's take a minute and read it together. It is the heart of the Christmas message. It's Luke chapter 2. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now you may not see it in this verse because this is familiar and it has a phrase, I bring you good news of a great joy. And in the very first announcement of the greatest gift that was ever given, Jesus Christ, this was the way it was introduced. Here is good news of great joy. Of a joy of a magnitude that you've never experienced before. And that's what we pray for you. But will you please notice that this verse includes a reference to something that has gone wrong with our lives. This verse clearly indicates that there's something wrong for which this good news had to come. It's all wrapped up in the last phrase, that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Please don't miss that. That the reason that we celebrate joy coming is because it takes care of a very serious issue in our life. He came as a Savior because we needed to be saved. And the reason that we need to be saved is because we all have sin. One of the verses of the great Christmas carol that we sang tonight, but we didn't sing this verse, Joy to the World, goes like this. No more let sin or sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings known. Do you know the rest of it? Yes, that's right. Far as the curse is found, far as the effects of sin are found, that's as far as Jesus came to make his joy known. This is what I would call the dark side of Christmas. The dark side of Christmas is that we all labor along with sinfulness, and that's the reason Jesus came. Someone said later, after the life of Christ, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the worst of all. Someone who knows the real Christ of Christmas knows about our dark side. This dark side of Christmas has been turned into movies. We see it all around at Christmas movies set up how dark the human experience could be. We thought we'd take you to one of the classics and give you a glimpse of the dark side of Christmas. There you go. We're not quite ready for that, but we'll skip it then. The dark side of Christmas is that there is a man by the name of, what's his name? Grinch. And the Grinch came to sort of to foul things up for Whoville. And he is an illustration of the dark side of Christmas. I want to share with you kind of three ways in which the dark side of Christmas manifests itself. I've called it what steals our joy. What steals our joy? I'd like to suggest three things that'll steal the joy of your life at Christmas. Number one is independence. Independence. What do you mean independence? I mean, if you determine to live your life independently of God, you will live under the shadow of the dark side of Christmas. Independence is the determination of the human spirit to say, God, I don't know whether you exist or I don't care if you exist, but I'm living my life my way and I don't need you. The Bible actually says that all of us have lived our lives like sheep and gone astray. We have each gone to our own way. Maybe you've been going your own way right now, but you've come home for Christmas. You've come home to your parents. You've come home to your children. You've come home to church. But have you come home to Christ? Independence will leave you in the dark shadow of Christmas. The second is indulgence. Indulgence is a Grinch that will steal your life. The indulgence that says, well, I'm going to go try everything, even if it's not what God wants. I know that God says I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it. And I indulge myself in these things, and this is one of the manifestations of sin in our life, sin for which Jesus Christ came and said, I will be your Savior. Maybe you're in the throes of that right now, indulging in everything or some things that you know God would say, that's not for you. Could I remind you that Jesus came into the world to give himself for you? And I'd say, don't give yourself to anything less than Christ. The third Grinch I'd call is indifference. Indifference, which shows up a lot at Christmas. Not in this service. There's not an indifferent child in this room about Christmas. No one is indifferent. But there are some indifferent adults. You're indifferent about the Christmas celebration. You're here because you have to be and thought it would be the right thing or whatever. And you know, I was thinking about the way we do Christmas. We go out, we shop, we buy presents, and year after year there's a different set of new great presents, new great hot toys. Can you think about the hot toys over the years that aren't that hot anymore? How about Cabbage Patch dolls? Anybody getting a Cabbage Patch doll for Christmas this year? Don't think so. Tickle Me Elmo? Doubt it. Transformers? Furbies? You know, the great toys that came over the years no longer are. And they kind of change. This year it's Xbox and iPods. You would have rather bought a Furby than an Xbox, probably, if you're a mom or dad. But, you know, what happens over the years is the toys come and go. And as we grow up, we say, well, all those things that we thought were going to satisfy don't. And pretty soon you get a little indifferent about getting engaged in all the things, and you buy because you have to, not really because you want to, maybe. And really what we learn is that great toys come and go, great material things come and go, and now we're just a little cynical because nothing really satisfies. We expected more, got less. We're jaded, no joy. Hey, listen, if you're stuck on any of these manifestations of a sinful heart, it'll always be winter, but it'll never be Christmas. Jesus came into the world to restore your joy by handling your stuff. And if you're under the laboring experience of suffering through sin, I have good news of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ, the Lord. But you must respond. And so I want to talk to you about how do you restore your joy. You restore your joy by understanding that you must turn to Him. If you've been indifferent, if you've been indulgent, if you've been independent, you've been going your own way, this is a great opportunity for you to say, wow, Jesus, did you come into the world for me? I need to turn to you. And by turning to you, you might just cry out with an Old Testament saint who knew something about being jaded and then being restored in his joy. It comes from Psalm 51. David, after a great period of sin in his life, a great period of indulgence in wrong things, turned back to the Lord and said, restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in my heart a willing spirit because I keep turning away. You ever have that experience? You know, you really want to follow the Lord, but you keep finding yourself turning where you shouldn't turn? That's a common life experience. I just say, hey, what a great time tonight to say, God, I turn back to you. Restore the joy. Or how about this? Could I remind you that the Psalms say it's a commanded disposition? We're actually commanded to be joyous. Psalm 32 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. It's a command. So if you're grumpy, if you got Grinch disease, if you got something infecting your life, you got to turn back and say, okay, Lord, I understand why you came. You came to be Savior, and I turn to you. And I will delight myself in you. You know, you'll delight yourself in toys tomorrow, but have you ever thought to delight yourself in the Lord? There's a promise that if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. You must command your spirit to say, okay, I'll take all this stuff, but who I really want is Christ. Here's the last verse I want you to read out loud with me. It comes from Romans chapter 15. This is my prayer for you. Let's read it together. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that God, who sent His Son, will fill you with joy and peace. The condition is? What's the condition? In believing. You must believe. You. Not your family, not your mother, not your father, not your children. You must believe that Jesus came to be your Savior. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. There is a Savior to help you with your sin. Joy to the world and joy to you. In a moment, we're going to light a candle. And this room is going to be filled with just the lights of our candles. It's more than a tradition. It's really a spiritual message by which we say, yes, the most important thing that's ever happened in the world has been the arrival of Jesus Christ, light of the world. For some of you tonight, that candle, I pray, will symbolize for you a beacon of God's truth coming into your heart, whereby you would say, I'll follow you, Christ. For others of you, this light may become a piercing, convicting, powerful, but warm light that would draw you back to God. For others of you, you know that the light has been refining your life. As you hold that candle, though, would you just say, light of the world, Jesus, thank you for coming. I come and I adore you. I'm going to ask you to get your candle ready. I'm going to lead us in prayer. The lights are going to go out. We're going to stay quietly in a period of prayer. And then we're going to sing together. Remember that when the light comes down, if your candle is lit, don't tip it. Let an unlit candle be the one that tips over. Okay? All right. Everybody's ready? Okay, the lights are going to go down. Let's just quietly think about Jesus Christ. The good news, the great joy, the Savior came for us. Into the world, the darkness of our world, and the sin of our lives, Jesus Christ came. Lord Jesus, thank you for being that solitary light, light of the world, to come to us and then become the light of our lives. I pray that no sin will steal the joy of salvation in Christ, and that all over this room tonight, hearts will turn away from an independent spirit, an indulgent lifestyle, an indifferent attitude, and instead, Lord Jesus, may our hearts be drawn to the warmth of this flame, the love and life of Jesus Christ. We pray that your life will come to us and fill us, As we hold this candle tonight, Lord Jesus, we remember your birth for us.